Tomorrow, you will remember only half of what I tell you today. And by the time we return from the feast, you may remember a single point of my sermon. Those are the findings of researchers time and time again when they measure recall against the information that was presented in a talk. Well, surely you must be better than that, right? After all, researchers have found that most of us spend 7 out of every 10 minutes that we are awake engaged in some form of communication. About 10% is writing, 15% reading, 30% talking, and 45% of our time when we are awake communicating is spent listening. So, if we do so much listening, we should be pretty good at it, right? Well, a doctor of communications who worked with the Air Force for many years shared an exercise that he used to open his training courses. He wrote that people generally believe that they are better listeners than those around them. It is the people they work for, the ones who work with or for them, their family members and their friends who have a problem in listening effectively, not them. He wrote that when I teach classes or lead seminars on communication, I often ask participants to assess themselves as listeners. With 10 being high and 1 being low, they are to rate themselves as listeners compared to the other members of the group. The average score through the years has been about 7.5. Some higher, some lower, but the average is 7.5. Next, they rate the other group members as listeners. Now, that rating has been 4.1 on average. In other words, they believe that listening is a problem, but that the problem belongs to someone else. See, remember that each group member is being rated as part of that group by the others. That is, each member is part of the group getting that 4.1 rating. The point is this. The people around us believe that we have more of a problem listening effectively than they do. And this should tell us something. Listening is not just someone else's problem, it's ours. So let's ask the question, how good of a listener are you? Did you rate yourself a 7.5? Would you rate those around you as a 4 or a 5? What can we do to improve our listening skills? How important is it to listen effectively? So today, I would like to share with you 7 principles of listening. We're going to look at 7 skills that you can develop that build on a foundation and that work together to make you a far more effective communicator than you are today if you put them to use. So before we begin, I'd like to ask yourself, who is the best listener I know? Who is that person that's always interested in me, in what I'm going through, and how I feel? Who is that person that I can bounce ideas off of and never interrupts me while I'm trying to share what's on my mind? Who is that listener that gives you the benefit of the doubt and gives you the time to work through your problems? I don't know about you, but the only one that I can think of that fits every one of those descriptions is God. It certainly isn't anyone else that I know, and I know it doesn't describe me. God is the perfect listener, and His Word does have quite a bit to say about effective listening principles and how important it is to listen, especially to our brethren and our family. Now, the last time I spoke, I focused on the topic of edification, the building up of each other, to support our mutual growth in the faith, to help each other to walk in the way that God reveals to us in the Bible. So today we're going to build on that topic, because being able to listen to each other effectively will help us to accomplish that mission of edification that He's given to each one of us. So before we begin, we need to identify some of the biggest traps when it comes to listening. And we're going to remove these excuses because they are excuses. The biggest one is to just throw your hands up and say, oh, I'll never be able to be a better listener. See, maybe you've already stopped listening. I humbly ask that you start listening again. Because research has also shown that everyone can improve their listening skills. They do not depend on your intelligence, and they do not depend on your age. The biggest problem that we have as a society is that we learn to do everything but listen. We spend many hours over many years teaching young children how to read, how to write, even how to deliver an effective speech or a presentation. But the extent of our instruction in listening is typically the command, listen up. So we never learn how to listen properly. So instead, we learn to not listen. We fall into the habit of hearing what we want. We let our minds drift when somebody is talking to us. We prejudge others. And we talk when we should be listening. These are all traps that are easy for us to fall into simply because we are human. And as human beings, we have a strong tendency to be all about me. So let's get into the first principle of listening. The foundation of all effective listening is this: be interested. There is no substitute for this. In fact, without being interested, you are wasting both your time and the time of the person with whom you are having a conversation. And that, my brethren, is a terrible thing for both of us. Let's turn together to 1 Corinthians 9. In 1 Corinthians 9, we're going to read a passage here that you may not have thought of in this context. I would actually recommend that you circle this verse or underline it and go back to pray on it later. Think about how many different ways it can apply in your life. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Now remember, we're talking here about being interested in paying attention to the person we're talking with. Now, when Paul wrote this, it was in regard to a special offering that was taken up to help out brethren in other areas, but the principle Paul lays out goes far, far beyond that. Here's what Paul was inspired to write. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Now, how nice is it for someone to listen to you when they are clearly interested in what you have to say? It's pretty great, isn't it? We know that reaping what you sow is a universal principle across every area of our lives. It is time to start sowing some attention. Verse 7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Sometimes that's easier said than done, because it is so hard to let go of yourself, for us to turn off what we want to say and really focus in on what the other person wants to share with us. Do you realize that that is what conversation is? See, when someone speaks with us, they are actually giving us something of themselves. How does it feel when you're trying to tell somebody something and they're distracted? They're obviously not paying attention, or even worse, they are obviously just waiting for you to finish talking so that they can tell you what they want you to know. We've all done it. I know that I've done it many, many times. I've done it to family, I've done it to friends, I've done it to coworkers, and I've done it to some of you here. It is a problem. But like any problem, you've got to recognize it before you can start to fix it. So let's work on being a cheerful giver of attention, to be interested. And you can do it. And we see why in the next verse. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 8 has to be one of the most encouraging verses in the entire Bible. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. In slang terms, that's telling you that God can make all the bounces go your way. And having sufficiency in all things. See, God is supplying what you need, including attention. Why? That you may have an abundance for every good work. Would you say that being an effective listener for your brethren would count as a good work? I certainly would. And what we're told here is that God has given you, among other things, an abundance of attention to listen to your fellow member of the body of Christ. Now let's turn over to Philippians 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3, we get a little bit more perspective into this first principle of being interested, of paying attention when we are conversing with another person. And while you turn there, let's consider this thought. How interested are you in your own business? I'm sure you've been told to mind it here and there throughout your life, usually when we were sticking our nose in where it didn't belong. But what about the business of your brethren? And no, we're not talking about sticking your nose where it doesn't belong. What we're talking about here is having a healthy interest in the goings-on of our brethren. Having an attitude of caring, of being interested in the concerns, in the business of our brethren. So Philippians 2 verse 3 tells us, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let's notice that verse 4 is not a suggestion. It is placed in the form of a command. Let each of you look out not only for your business, look out for the business of others as well. Look out for the best of them, for their benefit, to help them grow, to become stronger. And one of the best ways for us to do that is to listen to them and to be interested. Let's move on to the second principle. Eliminate distractions. This is a big one. I mentioned before, each of these principles fit in tightly with the others and they build on each other. And that is definitely the case here. Let's talk about what a distraction is. In the most basic terms, it is a thing that prevents you from giving full attention to something. This may be anything from a sound in the area that catches your ear. Perhaps a thought of your own has entered your mind and your mind starts to wander. Maybe you have something on your mind that is taking up your attention. Whatever it happens to be, understand that we are all affected by distractions and that there will always be distractions. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. Eliminating distractions and ignoring them is a skill that can be learned, developed, and improved on over time. Now let's talk about why it's so easy to get distracted in the form that it usually takes in a conversation. Most people will speak at a rate of between 100 and 125 words per minute. That may sound like it's a pretty good clip, but it's just a touch faster than about how fast I've been talking up here. But the typical person can listen and get all of the information from a speaker at a rate of nearly 500 words per minute. And here we start to see the problem. What happens when you are able to hear and process information four times faster than it's coming at you? What happens is that unless you guard against it, the door to distraction is wide open. Now here's an illustration of what can happen when you don't guard against distractions. I would bet that nearly all of us have been on both ends of this example in one form or fashion. Person A is going to be the boss. Person B is the subordinate, okay? Now, A is talking to B about a new program that the firm is planning to launch. Now, B is a poor listener, but in this case, he really tries to listen well. But he's going to have difficulty concentrating on what A says. So A starts talking, and B launches into the listening process. He's grasping every word and every phrase that comes into his ears, but right away, B finds that because of A's slow rate of speech, he has time to think of things other than the spoken line of thought. And subconsciously, B decides to sandwich a few thoughts of his own into the thoughts that are arriving so slowly. So B quickly dashes out onto a mental sidetrack, and he thinks something like this: oh, yeah, before I leave, I want to tell him about the big success of the meeting that I had yesterday. So then he comes back to the conversation into that spoken line of thought, and he listens to a few more words. There's plenty of time for B to do just what he has done. He dashes away, and he comes back again, keeps going to his private thoughts. And he can hardly avoid doing this because over the years, this process has become very well ingrained as a habit. But sooner or later, on one of those sidetracks, he's sure to stay away just a little bit too long. And when he comes back, A has moved further along, and now he's behind. He's missed part of the message, and now what are you going to do? You're going to interrupt your boss, or you start tuning out even more, and then eventually you lose everything. And by the time that conversation is done, or that, you know, giving of information is done, B has lost nearly half of what has been said. So what do we do about this? How do we stay on point and ignore the distractions as they come up? Well, first off, it's being aware of it and then applying willpower. It truly is that simple. Let's turn to Proverbs 4, verse 25. Proverbs 4:25. So often we look at this in the context of God's law, but we can apply it here as well. Proverbs 4, verse 25 tells us, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you." Because sometimes it really is as simple as keeping your eyes on the person you are talking with. See, how many of you have done this with your children, especially when they were younger? Look at me. To make sure that you had their attention. And you had to make sure that no matter what was happening around them, that they tuned into you and they heard what you had to say to them. I wonder how it would go over if you start doing that with everyone that you talk to who is clearly distracted. Might be pretty humorous. Now, while we're on this topic, I'm going to touch on something that is actually a trap that you may fall into. I'm a great listener. I just listen to get the facts. After all, if you get the facts, then you should certainly understand what was said, right? Wrong. Research into listening finds that this is one of the worst listening habits that someone can develop. Here's what happens. Instead of listening to all that is being said, the listener hears the first fact. While they are memorizing the first fact, here comes another one. And the listener either catches part of the fact or only a piece of it, and they try to memorize that while still holding on to fact number one to make sure that they don't lose that one. And then by the time facts number three, four, and five come along and the speaker is done, the listener is left with the first fact, parts of a couple others, and the rest of it is a garbled mess. So even though the listener is trying their very best to listen, they really are trying, what ends up happening, ironically, is that they themselves are the distraction. How do you break out of this listening habit? Well, you don't listen for facts. What you listen for instead are the ideas that the speaker is relating to you. You can always go back and ask again for the facts if you have clamped down on the idea. You only want to remember the facts long enough to understand the ideas that are being built from those facts. And what ends up happening is that the listener is able to remember both the idea and more of the facts than if they would just been listening for facts only. Now let's turn over to James 1. James 1, we're going to introduce our next principle. In the first part of the chapter, James is writing about how we are to handle the trials that come to us in our lives. And he gives us some practical advice that we are to put to use. Verse 19. James 1, verse 19 tells us, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So principle 3 is swift to hear, slow to speak. We could stay here for the rest of the sermon because there is so much that we can explore just in those few words, but we're going to build just a little bit off of the first two principles. First, let's make sure that we're clear on what we mean by hear in this context. In modern English, to hear something is simply a physical thing that a sound was made around you and you perceived that there was sound. But when we see the word hear in our Bibles, it means for us to listen, to perceive, to discern, to apprehend, to get it. And when we put it together with being interested and eliminating distractions, what it gives us is a picture of getting out of our own heads. And that is not a natural thing for human nature. Human nature tells you that everything is about you. And we just fall into that trap so easily. Remember the conversation between the boss and the subordinate, between A and B. While the boss is talking, what is the subordinate doing? He's thinking about what he is going to say when he has a chance, not about what the boss is saying. And we do that constantly. It's called listening to respond. You listen only long enough to figure out what you want to say. And rather than giving full concentration on what the other person is saying, you try to split your concentration so you don't lose what you want to say when that person finally stops talking. Because we love to air our own opinions, don't we? So what are we to do about this? Well, let's look to God for some advice. We've already looked at James 1:19, so back to Proverbs. Loaded with practical wisdom, and we're going to go to chapter 17 this time. Proverbs 17 in verse 28. It's talking about the wise. We all want to be wise. Proverbs 17 verse 28, we get a somewhat humorous insight into one of the practices of the wise when it comes to listening. It says, "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." The habit of the wise is to let the person finish their thoughts, as we talked about, to lay out their idea in full without interruption. While the fool has the habit of jumping in early to put in their two cents. And how often have we done that? Only to find out that what we thought was the whole story was anything but. And we have said something that is actually insulting to the other person because it was clear that we were only listening long enough to give our own opinion. I'm guilty of that more times than I care to admit. Perhaps it's wise to put ourselves into the position of the fool who can take the advice. You've probably heard the quote that is often attributed to Abraham Lincoln that plays off of this proverb. It says, "Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt." So let's be swift to hear. Since we're already in Proverbs, let's go to the next chapter for another nugget of wisdom on this matter. This time being focused on the slow to speak piece of things. Proverbs 18, verse 13 tells us, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." This has been a tough one for me. I grew up in a family of interrupters. Now, I never noticed it myself until Deborah pointed it out to me. When my family is together, everyone is talking on top of each other, bouncing back and forth. And when you grow up in that type of an environment, it does become a natural thing and something to overcome. So if I interrupt you, please understand it's something I'm working on. Let's move on now to our fourth principle. Principle number four is reflecting. So we're continuing to build on this foundation for effective listening. Now, one of the best skills for us to work on is reflecting. When we are having a conversation with someone, we first want to give them our full attention, to be interested. We're eliminating the distractions, and we are being swift to hear and slow to speak. We're giving them the time that they need to fully express their thoughts. We're giving them love and we're giving them respect when we do this. We're showing them that they have value to you. Now we're going to take it to the next level. This step is where we show that we are truly paying attention and taking in what they were saying. That we weren't just standing there letting things go in one ear and out the other. What we are going to do now is to bounce back to the other person what they have communicated to you. When we do this, we are making sure that we have understood what they have shared with us. It proves to them that we've been attentive, and it gives them reassurance that they are of value, and it builds empathy. Now, what we don't want to do is to simply parrot words back to them, although that is better than nothing. What's much better is to paraphrase their thoughts in your own words, the thoughts that they've shared with you. Even better is to add a couple of your own thoughts that may have occurred to you. In that way, you not only test your understanding, but you're developing rapport with that person, and you'll both feel a sense of ownership over that conversation. Now, in a free-flowing conversation, you don't need to do this all the time. But when you reflect back to someone on a regular basis, you're making sure that you get all of the information that you need. Now, when someone first starts out trying to reflect back to people, it can feel very awkward. So it can be helpful to have some starter phrases when it's your turn to speak. So here's a couple of them. You want to start by paraphrasing what they said in your own words after saying something like, "It sounds like," "What I hear you saying," "I get a sense that," "It feels as though." So you're getting the idea, okay? And if you think about how it would feel if someone took the time and the energy to understand you, imagine how others will feel when you invest the time and the effort into them by making this a regular practice. Your conversations will become much deeper. Now, principle five follows closely on the heels of reflecting, and that is follow-up questions. Now, when we reflect, what we're doing is we're confirming that we understand what has been said up to that point. Now we take the next step of asking for more information. Quite often, this follows directly on the heels of reflecting. For example, you may say, "It sounds like you feel that you're being treated unfairly at work because of X, Y, and Z." Now that's reflecting. Now we can ask a follow-up question. "Has anyone else you worked with experienced this too?" Now, since we're still there, let's read Proverbs 18:13 again. Proverbs 18:13, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." See, when we ask follow-up questions and we combine them with reflecting, what we're doing is we are actively hearing a matter. We're trying to get the full picture before we bring forth our own opinion on it. See, we want to make sure that we understood what was originally said, and now we're getting clarity, we're getting new information to help you understand even better. Now, at this point, we've looked at a set of principles that are relatively easy to do with some discipline and some practice. See, because most of them are built off of that foundation of being interested and having various levels of focus to capture the ideas, the feelings, and the facts that support them, and making sure that we understand it. Now we answer, right? It's our turn. Wrong. Now we get into the hard stuff. These last two principles are the most difficult because they are the ones that go the most against our human nature. We're going to look at principle number 6. You may recall one of the final points of the message that I gave on the topic of edification. I shared with you the danger that we have with the echo chamber. And that's when you interact only with those who are closest to you in their opinions and the way that they think. And you end up reinforcing each other to the point where you must be right because that's all you're hearing. So what is the solution? We must focus on our sixth principle, perspective. Real listening is not projecting your own views on what other people are saying. A very common habit that a lot of people have is to listen for what you agree with. And why is that? It's because it's natural for us to process everything that comes to us in our environment through our own perspective. And that includes whatever the person across from you is trying to tell you. They are trying to share with you their perspective, their feelings. But what do we so often do? We aren't looking at things through their eyes. We are thinking in our heads about what we would do if we were in their shoes. Let's go back to Philippians 2, verse 4 again. Philippians 2, verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. What does that mean for us in light of this principle? How can we look out for the interests of our brethren? What they are interested in? What's important to them if we are constantly focused on our interest? In order for us to really understand what the other person needs, we must strive to get out of our own head, to remember that it's not about you. It's very easy to say, very hard to do. Because the most comfortable place in the world is your own head. As crazy and messy as it is sometimes, it's your crazy. It's your messy. To strive to go into somebody else's head, to see things from their point of view and their perspective, to really understand it, it's going to be very, very uncomfortable. In fact, it's so uncomfortable that many people, rather than trying to get out of their own head to see another perspective, they'll unconsciously turn a discussion into a contest. They want to make sure that the other person sees my perspective, what I would have done if I were them. So get accustomed to being uncomfortable. Remember, it's not about you. You want to strive to see things from the other person's perspective. Finally, principle 7. Let's turn to Proverbs 18. So much practical wisdom back here. Proverbs 18, we'll look at verse 23, shows us a trap that we can so easily fall into. Proverbs 18:23 tells us, "The poor man uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly." Now, the Children's Bible Translation puts it this way. It says, "Poor people beg for mercy, rich people give rude answers." What that illustrates for us is that another factor that can affect listening is status. One's perception of position can often distort communication. When speaking with a person in a position of authority, such as a parent or an employer, many people will craft their message in the way that they speak to impress and not to offend. Sometimes, when speaking with a person of equal or lower status, such as a coworker or a child, some people may be unnecessarily cold or insensitive to the listener's need. Both the speaking and the listening can be distorted by the perceptions of status. What does this look like? Do you judge first and then listen to see how you can fit what they're saying into the judgment that you made? Imagine how a conversation would go between the Pharisee and the tax collector in Jesus' parable. How effective of a listener would they have been to each other? You can see the picture there. So it's a problem. What's the solution? The solution is principle number 7, discretion and mercy. Let's speak first about discretion to refine what I mean here. The most common way that we think about the word discretion is keeping private things private. And we definitely should. There's an awful lot that goes on in other people's lives that you don't need to know. What we're talking about in this context, though, is the sense of disposition. And that's to be focused in on the qualities of the person, to believe the best of the other person. If we are all truly doing our utmost to follow God's way, then this should not be that difficult. We should believe the best of each other. Now, hand in hand with this is mercy. When we interact with each other and judgments are made, we should try to follow a guideline something like this. I will be very tough on myself, but will give others the benefit of the doubt. We are told in Matthew 7, verse 2, that we are going to be judged by the measuring stick that we use with others. I want the most merciful, lenient measure possible when I am standing before Christ. Now, let's be clear, we're not talking about being tolerant of willful sinning. That's a habit or behaviors that are clearly wrong. But what we're talking about is having discretion and mercy with everyone in regards to where they might be along their spiritual walk and their level of understanding. See, someone who is a spiritual toddler needs that mercy. They need that benefit of the doubt to gently correct, if appropriate, and to then deliver encouragement that they can continue to grow and become stronger. And even those who are more spiritually mature will stumble from time to time. The last thing that any of us needs is to feel like we're being judged when all we want is to share our struggles, our pains, our feelings, to work through it so that we can get up and dust ourselves off and get back on the path. If you don't offer discretion and mercy, you are impeding that process. Rather than having an opportunity for your brother or sister and for you to grow, you can squash it. The lesson here is to reserve judgment. Use discretion and mercy. Rather, an effective listening is one of the hardest things you can do. And we've only covered a few of the traps and the bad habits that can plague us. We interrupt, our minds drift off, we concentrate on what we want to say, we focus on the wrong things, and we so often want to judge the person that we're listening to. It is difficult. It's very difficult to improve, but you can, and you must. Let's turn to our final scripture today, 1 Peter chapter 1. While you're turning there, let's review those principles. First, be interested. Second, eliminate distractions. Third, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Number four was to reflect. Number five, ask follow-up questions. Number six, see their perspective. Number seven, use discretion and mercy. Now, in the introduction, I asked the question, who is the greatest listener that you know? The answer, of course, is God. He provides the perfect model for us to follow, to listen patiently, to listen with love, to always be interested in what we have to say. It is a part of who He is. In 1 Peter 1, verse 15, 1 Peter 1, verse 15, it reminds us what we are to be like. We are to be like Him. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 says, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." So brethren, let's make the effort to truly listen to each other. When you do, and you make a habit of it, you build up your brethren in ways that you could never have thought possible. So many people in this world and here in this church just want someone to listen to them, to feel like someone cares, to feel valued, that their thoughts and their ideas matter. It is truly incredible that by applying these seven principles of listening that we reviewed today, it will do all of these things. It opens the door to deeper relationships and new opportunities to edify each other, to build each other up, to help each other to deal with the challenges of life together. Effective listening is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to your brethren and to anyone that you talk to.